President Bush tried in his State of the Union message to win over Americans who are reluctant to see the U.S. go to war against Iraq. Pre-speech polls showed that ousting Saddam Hussein is not the top priority most people have for the country. Here are three reports on the president's power of persuasion on Iraq and other themes in last night's speech. NPR's David Mulpus begins with a group of military retirees in North Carolina.
All of last night's attendees at the Fayetteville chapter of the Retired Military Association are war veterans. Some were Air Force pilots, others members of Army Special Forces, and, as one put it, we're all hawks here. There are a few plush leather bar stools in the meeting hall, but the men prefer the hardback chairs. They sit around telling stories until the president comes on TV. And love it when Mr. Bush hints that the U.S. has participated in the assassination of suspected al-Qaeda terrorist members.
Right on, George.
The military retirees shout amen when the president calls for affordable health care, and they praise the attention he gave to restoring the economy. But mainly they like what George Bush had to say as commander-in-chief. Bill Tibbett, head of the Fayetteville Group, is convinced that war with Iraq is a necessity.
I think that I heard him say, watch out, we're coming. And I think he made the point clear, the reasons why. The only thing that I would have to say detrimental is, why haven't we already gone?
For Tibbett, who served three tours of duty in Vietnam, Saddam Hussein is clearly linked to the war on terrorism, indirectly at least. And he says there's no use waiting till Iraq helps terrorists bring more violence to U.S. shores.
I think 9/11 showed the tip of the iceberg what could happen if we sit here and sit on our hands. We have to carry it to them to keep it away from here.
Bob Bennett, another Vietnam vet, would prefer to try other methods before going to war, but he says the president has convinced him that's not realistic.
I thought Woodrow Wilson had a good idea at one time. Isolation policy. Put some fences up around the place, but we can't do it anymore. So somebody's got to take control, and it looks like we're it.
Others, like Vince Funke, a World War II veteran, say the U.S. has been so strong on threatening war that it will probably be avoided. He's counting on the Iraqi military to take care of Saddam.
I do believe that there will be an insurrection within his group there, and they're going to take him down.
Whatever happens in the coming weeks, this group expressed sympathy for the president last night. As one put it, he's got a full plate. David Mulpus, NPR News, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
I'm David Shaper in Chicago, where a small but diverse group of teachers and middle-class professional parents and grandparents say the president failed to make the case for going to war. Elementary school library and media teacher Cheryl Bureau says she wasn't moved by President Bush's detailing of Iraqi atrocities.
It was manipulation on his part to try to get us to feel something and be on his side.
Most in this group echo teacher Bibiana Andrade, who says she doesn't think President Bush made a strong enough link between Saddam Hussein and terrorism.
He hasn't connected the dots. He hasn't made the case for how 9/11 and Afghanistan and al-Qaeda leads to Iraq. Yes. I don't see it.
And Peter Maxfield, a father and music seller in his 40s, questions President Bush's emphasis on Iraq over other foreign threats.
I don't doubt that everything he says about Iraq is true. I've never questioned that they have the weapons. I've never had any questions about Saddam Hussein or the regime or anything. It's not a reason to go to war, and there are countries that are a lot worse.
Maxfield and the others also question the president's emphasis on cutting taxes at a time the nation may have to fund an expensive war. None believe they'll get much out of his tax cut plan. Retired nurse Jeanette Holmes says the president's domestic policy agenda didn't have enough detail, even his call for more comprehensive prescription drug coverage.
I didn't hear him say anything specific. And believe me, people need it. I go to the drugstore, my medicine is a lot, and I'm not even sick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There are little old ladies that you know don't have $500 to buy their prescriptions. Sure.
But 35-year-old teacher Karen Johnson, who says her aging parents can hardly afford their medications, welcomes the Bush drug plan.
I don't know that his plan will work, but I'm glad that he stated that he had a plan. And let's see. Let's give it a chance.
On other domestic issues, the group was mixed. Some liked the president's call for hydrogen-fueled cars to reduce dependence on foreign oil, but were disappointed that he said little about education. And State Human Services Administrator Mike Brundage was hoping for some reference to the huge budget crises Illinois and most other states are now going through.
We had to take days off without pay.
Brundage says he wonders how the federal government will help states meet the growing demand for critical human services. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
This is Brian Naylor in Washington. Standing in front of Thurston Hall, a dorm at the George Washington University, you can easily spot the old executive office building just a few blocks away. On the other side of it, of course, sits the White House. So not surprisingly, the students we talked to in the TV room at Thurston Hall, all freshmen, were pretty informed about the issues President Bush addressed last night. The state of the economy, what the president led his speech with, is an issue very much on the minds of the GW students. One said he supported Mr. Bush's proposed acceleration of tax cuts, but doubted they would do much in the short term to help revive the economy. Courtney Sturzberg of Philadelphia says the scarcity of jobs is a real issue for her and her friends.
I think about it a lot. I have friends who graduated last year from college, and the struggle to find a job has been absolutely horrible. I mean, for us, it's something, us meaning my generation, my class, graduating class, I think it's something that we do have to think about.
A number of students were skeptical of spending an additional $600 million on drug treatment programs, as the president proposed. There was more support for his promise to seek $15 billion over 5 years for what he called an emergency plan for AIDS relief in Africa. Meredith Wolf is from Long Island, New York.
I was kind of out of left field for what everyone expected him to say tonight. So I thought that was a very good idea, a strong part of his speech in particular.
Like the nation as a whole, there was no consensus on the need for U.S. troops to invade Iraq. Carlos Garcia of Miami thought the president missed an opportunity to reach out to other nations.
I would have liked to hear more emphasis on the need for a coalition and express more in regards to the UN, because I think it's important. If we don't establish that coalition, I don't think we are there legitimately.
Dave Frankel from Baltimore said he would wholeheartedly support the president should he order U.S. troops into Iraq, but said he still thinks Mr. Bush needs to make a better case.
President Bush stated several times that Saddam Hussein has failed to reveal evidence showing that he has disarmed his lethal weapons. However, President Bush failed to acknowledge that we have evidence proving that. And once the Bush administration can prove that, they have my complete support in the war against Iraq.
The president made clear last night he will continue to try to make that case on Iraq. It's clearly an issue much on the minds of these students three blocks from the White House, as it is with Americans across the nation. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.